Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And they play the Nationals today, but I would imagine that when you get to this stretch of spring training, we are next Monday, the Braves are going to be at home at SunTrust Park, all right? And then a week from Thursday, regular season. This is like your head is not into this anymore.
No, you know what? It's funny. It's like the preseason for football. And it's amazing how some teams look at spring training differently than others.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about the Yankees bringing out the big guns and everything. Braves are looking at the bigger picture, bigger fish to fry. There are probably certain guys that they want to get some work and other guys that they want to rest. And to that point, John, got a pitching staff that's a little bit on the mend.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the mend. So, you know, you don't really too much worry about that. You're trying to get through the regular season.
Now, let's put it this way. You know, that's the worst record in the Grapefruit League this year.
Yankees,
the Boston Red Sox.
Like they really care.
Yeah,
though.
That's what I'm saying.
Like they really care.
You know, they're 8-15. Does it mean anything?
Not.
You know, the best record in the Cactus League out in Arizona, San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
Does it mean anything? No, it means nothing. Granted, hey, listen, it's nice that the San Diego Padres spent $300 million to get Manny Machado, but does it really mean anything? I mean, no. I mean, let's see what it does when it counts. So. We'll have that. Some of the other headlines this morning include the Hawks taking on the Rockets. This is a big three-game homestand. Hawks and Rockets tonight. Tip at 7:30. Pregame begins at 7 on Sports Radio 92.9. The game and tickets are available for tonight's game against James Harden and the Rockets at 7:30. And, yes, the Beards are going to play. Rockets are in the throes of trying to fight for playoff position here. Same with Utah coming in on Thursday. Same with Philadelphia coming in on Saturday.
I think the Sixers have clinched the spot. They're in.
Right, they're in.
The
Sixers
are in.
Which spot are they going to have?
Yeah, you're right. Now you're getting the seventh seed? Is it the seventh or eighth seed?
Let me see here. In the East, they've clinched a spot. They're currently number three in the East.
Oh, I'm sorry. The three seed.
Okay.
Yeah. I was thinking that the matchups because who's the four? Because I know that at one point they was talking about a matchup with Boston.
Yeah,
so and how they didn't want that.
This
their
is why
first
it's important
match
for Philadelphia, right? Milwaukee's got 52 wins, and they're number one. Toronto's got 50 wins, they're number two. Philadelphia's got 45 wins, they're number three. Indiana's got 44 wins, they're number four, and Boston has 43 wins and they're number five. So Philadelphia only one win ahead of Indiana in fourth, and two ahead of Boston in fifth. So they're all fighting for that. You know, you want to be in that 3-6.
Yeah.
Because if you're in 3-6, you play Detroit and you get home court advantage.
That's what it was. Because they were talking about it a few weeks ago because they've been jockeying for position for that 3 and that 4 spot between them and Boston. And that potentially could be their first round matchup for them. All depends on where they get that seeding at.
Right. I mean, Philadelphia at this point is going to be anywhere from 3, 4, or 5. For Philadelphia, and so they want to hold on to that three and try and avoid Boston or Indiana in the opening round and play somebody like the Nets or the Pistons in the opening round. So this is important for them coming in next Saturday. As for Houston out west, Houston currently also the number three seed, but only one win ahead of Portland in four and only two wins ahead of San Antonio in five and Oklahoma City in six. So you can see how they're fighting for home court advantage as well. And Utah at 41 wins is tied for seventh with the L.A. Clippers. And so,
excuse me, John. What did you say San Antonio was in the seeding for the West?
Fifth right now.
You know what's funny? The reason why I asked that is, like, you know, when they got rid of Kawhi Leonard, there's a lot of speculation of whether or not how San Antonio was going to.
Yeah, they were going to fall off the cliff,
yeah, they were
going
to fall off the cliff. It's amazing that San Antonio always flies somewhat under the radar. Always, every year, they fly under the radar, and I guess that, I mean, no question that has to do with the great coaching that they have out there. But the West, it's going to be tough. The West is tough.
I mean, San Antonio's got a pretty good team. I mean, you got Aldridge, you got DeRozan, you got Rudy Gay. I mean, they've got stars on that team. They're just not the ones that you're used to. And
they're not the ones that we talk about all the time.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's just not one of those programs where it's always on your television that everybody's always talking about.
We're a little spoiled. I mean, they went from David Robinson into Tim Duncan into Kawhi, right? I mean, and didn't
Tony
miss a
Parker,
beat.
They've had some
Tony
ballers.
Parker.
Manu Ginobili.
We're talking 25 years of
having some really good players.
Right.
And that, you know, that says to me, really, really good scouting department, picking the right guys for what you want to do.
Right. Well, maybe we strike lightning in a bottle with another Wake Forest guy in John Collins.
Maybe.
And maybe we get that kind of run going. That'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it?
Maybe.
Then, of course, the NCAA tournament begins tonight. Now, you don't have to have your brackets in tonight. My bracket's already in. You have until Thursday morning to get your brackets in. But once Thursday morning hits, you're going to be on a serious clock, okay? Because the first four games are not going to be part of the bracket unless you pick the teams going forward. I mean, you can. You can make them kind of part of your bracket if you pick them to win in the next round. But some people like to wait to see what happens in the first four games, like tonight's game between Temple and Belmont. You know, if one team wins and you're impressed by them, would you take them to beat Maryland in the opening round? I could go ahead and put my bracket in because I looked at those games and said, nah, they're not advancing.
Well, I had mine. At first, I was listening to Deshaun, and I had Belmont for the upset. Then, you know, the GM of the Hawks came in, Travis, and he told me, nah, I don't think that's going to happen, so I got to go with the guy. I mean, listen, much love to Deshaun Tate. I know he knows a lot of basketball, but Trav, like, he knows bad. Like, not saying that, you know, Trav is, like, you know, smarter than you or anything, but he is the GM of the Atlanta Hawks, so you know that.
Well, he has seen more college basketball.
I'm just saying that.
I mean, as a scout, I mean, how many college basketball games has he seen this season? Oh, yeah, my Lord.
He's always on the road.
In person.
So I'm going to have to go on here. It's going to be interesting, though, because of those few picks that I've picked so far, because I still haven't filled out my bracket. As a matter of fact, I'm up here looking at it right now. I still need to figure out what I want to do as far as moving forward because I only got the first round figured out just yet.
Yeah, but you can get in if you're not – the first four games are not going to impact you and they're not going to impact me. I went ahead and put my bracket in at 929thegame.com in our bracket challenge. But tonight you have the first game of the NCAA tournament. Yes, the NIT opens tonight too if you care. Unfortunately, my wife does care because Indiana plays tonight at 7 o'clock against St. Francis of Pennsylvania.
So how are you going to do that,
and
John?
And I'm going to watch that.
Because, you know, you got to watch that Prairie View. You have to watch that Prairie View Fairleigh Dickinson game. You got to watch a little bit.
Well, you know, I can always – I have my tablet.
Oh, you got a tablet in front of you?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I can watch two at once because I got the tablet and I can just stream DirecTV on the tablet, so I can watch two. But you'll have Prairie View – and Fairleigh Dickinson, our coverage will be on our sister station, 1380 WAOK, pregame at 6:30 and the tip around 6:45 tonight for the opening game of the first four in Dayton. And then the late game tonight is Temple and Belmont. That will be the late game. And then tomorrow you have two more first four games, North Carolina Central, North Dakota State, and Arizona State and St. John's. So that'll be tomorrow. And then, of course, Thursday at noon, we kick into high gear into the field of 64 in the NCAA tournament. So... and you have to have your bracket in by then. But if you're not going to be affected by the first four, and I don't see Arizona State or St. John's, North Carolina Central or North Dakota State, Temple Belmont, or Prairie View Fairleigh Dickinson advancing beyond the first four. So it didn't matter to me one whit. I could go ahead and fill out my bracket. They weren't going anywhere. You know, so I'm not overly worried about one of those teams making a magical run to the Sweet 16. No, I'm not.
But it is exciting when a team does that. And you know what's funny? I guess that's what I'm kind of looking for when I'm trying to figure out my bracket at this point. Because the more and more we talk about this, the more and more I'm starting to get involved in you know, starting to have, you know, feelings for how my bracket is going to be, you know, put together. Because I want to be that guy who was on that Cinderella team that nobody thought could do it, the little engine that could.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that in this tournament that there is going to be a team. It's just which one is going to be that team.
Let's see who plays tonight in the NIT. Do we care? Let's see how Clemson's playing tonight in the NIT.
So you just ignored totally what I said.
No. I heard NC State. I was just kind of curious.
You went straight to the NIT. Nobody cares about the NIT, John. Nobody cares but you and your family. That's it. You're trying to make us care.
No. Alabama fans care.
Oh, yeah, Roll Tide.
Yeah, Roll Tide. Yeah, they're in it. Nebraska fans care. They're in it. Though I think Nebraska's going to fire its coach even though he went to the NIT. I think because they're talking about Fred Hoiberg being the new coach. Man, look at these tournaments. The CBI.
How long has that tournament been around? Because I have never heard of the
15
CBI
years?
Tournament. Have not heard of that one.
The CBI does, that's the number three tournament. You have NCAA, then you have the NIT, then you have CBI, that's the number three tournament, College Basketball Invitational. And it's a smaller tournament, but they do something kind of fun. Their final, their championship round is best two out of three. So whoever makes their finals, you get a home game, and then you play best 23. But see, this is how ridiculous it is, though. The CBI, right, tournament, West Virginia made the CBI tournament, Hugh. West Virginia is 14-20. That's their record, 14-20.
And they're in the tournament.
And they're in a CBI tournament. They're 14-20.
Awesome.
And then you have the CIT. And the CIT, you really get down to like UT, Rio Grande, University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley's in that one. Presbyterians in that one. I mean, you get down to smaller schools. And look, I have no problem with these tournaments. It's like the women's NIT. I mean, I think it's fine that you have these other tournaments because, you know, these smaller schools like UT, Rio Grande Valley, they get a chance to play in a postseason tournament.
No, I get it. I get it. But it's one of those things when we think about the NCAA tournament, John, listen, we got ladder sales go up. Remember, there were I forgot who it was. I think it was Doug Gottlieb. A couple years ago, was hawking ladders during the NCAA tournament. It's just one of those things where everybody, this is the tournament that is, it's a conversation starter, number one. It's definitely a conversation starter. And it's one of those things that it's almost like the Super Bowl that brings everybody together because everybody's watching the NCAA tournament. And everybody's going to be talking about it on some level. This is the one time a year where this is college basketball's big stage, and everybody's going to be on top of it.
You know, we were talking, is this, you know, your favorite weekend of the year because of all this college basketball that's going on and whatnot? It's not mine, but I understand if it is yours. My favorite weekend of the year is, because I'm a college football fan, is always going to be conference championship weekend. I mean, all those title games, the SEC title game, the Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12, I'm a title game guy. It's always my big year. And frankly, The Final Four in college football is, you know, I mean, it's just kind of where I am. But, I mean, it's a big weekend. I don't know if it's my favorite weekend of the year, but I can understand how it is some people's favorite weekend
of the
year.
Yeah, and it starts Thursday. That's the beautiful – well, technically
that's the
it starts
thing,
tonight.
You know, right.
It
starts tonight, but it really starts Thursday. And then you get – because it is so funny. You think, you know, here's the field, and you start with, you know, 68 teams this evening, right, okay, on Tuesday night. By this Sunday, there will only be 16 teams left. I mean, 52 teams are going to be out by Sunday.
Yeah.
52.
And that's the thing. Like, by Sunday evening, you're going to see people crying. Well, you're going to see crying memes of people's brackets blown to bits.
Yeah.
Because they made the wrong pick. And as always, it's going to be somebody. If you even if you go chalk, there's going to be some team that gets upset. And they're going to be looking around, and they're going to have that deer in the headlights look because they didn't see it coming. Because for some of these teams, especially over the last few years, John, they're looking to knock off Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking to be the big story.
Right.
And every year, it's always a team. And that's why I'm trying to be that guy that be on the bandwagon before everybody else. You know how you say we're going to be Hawks cool before Hawks are cool? I kind of want to do that with this here bracket picking.
All right. Well, we'll see how good Hugh is at it because, you know, he's going to be loading his bracket where you could load your bracket. And that's the bragging rights bracket. There's $1,000 for a first prize. And that's pretty cool. And, yeah, you want to win the money. And if you win the money, yeah, that's great. But what you really want is bragging rights for us to shout you out on the air. And that's where this all comes in at 929thegame.com under our contest tab. And once you click, it's right there at the top. You click the March Madness bracket, fill out your bracket, and then we'll see how you do on a daily basis. And we'll be talking about your bracket picks beginning on Friday morning. And then next Monday morning with the Sweet 16, when it's set, we'll really get an idea if you have bragging rights. Sharif Abdur-Rahim, Atlanta legend, going to be in studio telling us. Oh, by the way, he's the president of the G League. Did you know that? The NBA G League?
Oh, heck.
He's going to be in studio talking about what he's got going on. We'll pick his brain a little bit, too, next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios. This hour brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. We are thrilled to have with us, Hugh and I in studio this morning, one of the legends of Atlanta High School prep basketball, Sharif Abdur-Rahim, and his sister Kadira, who are joining us
Sharif.
To talk a little bit about what they've got going on and talk a little basketball as well. Well, welcome, Sharif. Welcome to 92.9 The Game.
Thank you for having us.
Welcome, Kadira. It's great to have you here.
She said call her Miss Q. Well, she told me.
Me, Miss Q?
Call her Miss Q.
Miss Q?
That's what she told me.
All right, I'll be happy to do that.
Miss Q is fine.
Well, welcome back home, eh? Congratulations on the new gig. You're now the president of the NBA's G League. That's quite an honor.
Yeah, it is. It's a big step. Thank you. You know, you, work and continue to grow. So it's a great honor. A lot of work ahead. Thank you.
So what is that? I know it's new to you, but what does that entail as far as your day to day? How do you handle your day to day?
Well, so I mean, in general, the G League is the NBA's affiliate league. With 27 teams, next year will be 28 teams, all connected, owned, or operated by NBA teams. And we're the league that helped launches NBA careers or players developing and growing into NBA players, coaches and front mm-hmm. office folks for that matter. On a day-to-day is helping, you know, guide our league, both basketball and business, growing revenue, setting the direction and vision of where the league is going.
So does that mostly entail you dealing with the basketball side of it? What I mean by that is that like you're looking at young players, or are you more focused on trying to get, you know, to generate the revenue and keep that business side of the NBA, the G League going?
So we have a director of basketball operations. My focus is probably more on the business and continuing to grow the business and grow revenue and you know, branch out where our visions and thoughts should be going forward as a league. You know, we all of our teams are connected to NBA teams, so more and more. So, for example, starting next year, the Atlanta Hawks will have the Skyforce here in College Park. Mm-hmm. You know, so just helping craft out the direction and vision of how the league should continue to grow, how revenue will continue to grow. And just make sure that fans continue to be able to access the next generation of talent coming into the NBA.
So it sounds like to me, Ms. Q, if you want to chime in, it sounds like a little bit that this is going to be like in the community a lot more as far as the NBA is concerned. I mean, they're already in the community, but with this G League being here now, it sounds like it's going to be even more involved in the
community.
Well,
if you look at our markets of where our teams are and how our teams are positioned, they are positioned that way. That we're, you know, you think of G League players, they're much more accessible. You know, it's harder to get to, you know, if you're in this market, it's hard to get to Trae Young or John Collins and those guys. The players in the G League, they're working their way up to be with the Atlanta Hawks, so they're more accessible. We're more, I wouldn't say more community oriented, but again, just that accessibility and being in your community and being connected. So in College Park, I'm sure Steve Koonin and folks, they have a strategy for how to connect in College Park. You know, my home and, you know, pretty much why we're here today to talk about some of the work we're still doing in Southwest Atlanta. So, but for, you know, as far as the G League, the future is really, really bright for us.
Sharif Abdur-Rahim and his sister Kadira. So, Kadira, tell me about the Future Foundation. I mean, you've got a big event coming up here next week. And let's start with what you do with the Future Foundation. Now, what is the Future Foundation trying to achieve?
So Future Foundation's mission is to mobilize the community to level the playing field for youth in Metro Atlanta to help them get out of generational poverty. And so what that looks like every day is we have about 6 after-school sites across East Point, College Park, Southwest Atlanta that focuses on providing a second family for kids in the 6th through 12th grade. So a lot of our kids come to us for multiple years, and we ensure that they graduate high school and go on to some type of post-secondary institution. The event that we're having tomorrow, the Keep It 100% Luncheon, is a celebration of our kids' success and ensuring that 100% of our kids have graduated high school and 99% have gone on to some type of post-secondary institution.
Wow, 99%?
That's pretty high.
99% since 2007. So the luncheon is in celebration of that success. And then we also honor an individual who's done amazing things in the Atlanta community to support education. And we also acknowledge a corporation who's done the same. So we'll be honoring Cox Enterprises tomorrow for their corporate responsibility. And then we'll be honoring Mike Donnelly, who is the president of Wells Fargo for the Southeastern region tomorrow. Mike Donnelly will receive the Gene Childs Young Education Award, and Cox Enterprises will receive the Ann Kramer Corporate Social Responsibility Award.
That sounds pretty cool, though, John, because it sounds to me like this is an after-school program that allows kids to a lot of parents work a lot of long hours, and the kids can come there and kind of hang out until their parents get home. Is there also a place where they can get, like, homework help and things of that nature?
So we really are providing a second family, and we're mobilizing. We're using our after-school program as a hub to really focus on mobilizing and creating an ecosystem of support. So it's just not Future Foundation providing services. We're organizing other nonprofits to come in, governmental entities who have supports like healthcare. We're also mobilizing the business community to come in and do career talks to provide access and career exposure opportunities for our kids. So it really is kind of like this collective impact of people coming together to ensure that kids are graduating and we are transforming low-performing schools together. So it is very much a community-driven effort with lots of success. And kids are getting anything from homework support, being able to prepare for college. Sometimes, you know, we have kids who have mental health issues. We're finding the support that they need to get mental health support as well. So it's really anything. If you think about what you received in your family, mm-hmm. Future Foundation provides a second family and provides all those resources if kids just don't have access to a healthy, functioning family at this time.
Does Future Foundation, I want to make sure you're online with Future Foundation, correct?
Yes, we're at future-foundation.com. You can volunteer. You can send us an email at info@future-foundation.com, but you can find out all about our work at future-foundation.com.
This is Kadira and her brother, of course, famous basketball star that he was, Sharif Abdur-Rahim, Atlanta Hawk at one time. Speaking of that, did the Hawks in the G League, the Skyforce in the G League, are you going to be able to tie them in? I see the Hawks as one of the is that like a corporate sponsor, corporate partner with you in Future Foundation?
Well, so the Hawks are, and we thank them for their support. And it goes back to, you know, just even my time playing with the Hawks. We just tried to, you know, stay connected here with the Hawks. It's no official relationship with, you know, the Hawks or the G League team. Obviously, our group is, you know, we're Southwest Atlanta and, you know, right in East Point College Park. So, you know, hopefully, you know, some of our students will be able to come over and take part in the game. I know for me, growing up in College Park, you know, playing basketball at, you know, College Park Recreation Center is probably a mile or 2 miles from where the Skyforce was playing. Just the idea that professional basketball was going on in my community mm-hmm. Would have been tremendous for me. You know, it would have really opened my eyes to different possibilities. So I think just the idea of having the Skyforce in College Park is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I can imagine you can help them with tickets. You are the president of the league.
Yeah, you got it going on now. You're the president. Now, Sharif, I got a question for you. I know that, you know, with you being the president, you have all these different duties and stuff that you have to do. But do you take time to fill out a bracket?
I do. My son, actually, this is like his thing. You know, he's won probably in the house. He's probably won the last 5 years. So I take time to.
So you don't. So you mean with all that basketball you played, you still ain't the man at the house?
Nah, he watches more college basketball than I do. I'm watching G League and NBA. He watches much more college basketball than I do.
Okay, I got you. Because I was about to ask you about some of these things. Because I wrote mine out in pencil, and I was needing some
Cal's
help.
Cal's not in it.
Cal isn't in it. So. we're struggling.
By the way, are they going to change? If I may, Sharif, a question about the G League. I had heard that Adam Silver was considering changing the way that they do entrance from high school and allowing high school players to possibly go back into the NBA and even into the G League and changing kind of the rules and getting rid of the one and done.
Well, so, you know, just over the last couple of years, there's been a lot going on just around the elite youth space and, you know, how kids enter college and some of the different things going on in high school basketball. What the G League is offering, we have a program that will go into effect in the 19-20 season where elite high school kid, if they choose, we're not recruiting them, if they choose to, say, come straight to professional basketball, they can come to the G League. We have a program that's for them to start their process of being a professional player, training. We have a partnership with Arizona State University where they can start their education if they want to do that as well. And then following that season, they can go on and put their name in the draft and, you know, play in the NBA. But, you know, the actual mechanisms of changing the rule is a, you know, that would be a totally different arrangement that would have to be collectively bargained. And it's a much bigger process.
Yeah, is this kind of – when you work, Kadira, with the Future Foundation, again, your big luncheon is tomorrow at the Gathering Spot. Do you find that, you know, you have to get through a little hurdle with some kids who who some young players who think, you know, I'm going to be a star player when in fact, you know, what's the percentage that make the NBA? 1.1% or something?
So just one point I'll make is, so the Future Foundation, I started, it has no sports affiliation.
Right, understood, but you have to get past that hurdle sometimes.
Talking about kids just wanting to think they're one-track mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was that kid, right? But and the thing we try to do is open their mind up to what else is going on outside of their neighborhood. That's what happened for me. I, you know, earned a scholarship to go to UC Berkeley and saw a world, you know, outside of anything I've ever seen, and said, wow, there's a bunch of friends of mine that are in, you know, College Park, East Point, that would never get to see this. There's kids there. So that's the, you know, taking kids on college tours and helping them fill out college applications and, you know, healthy relationships. All of these things that, you know, just help you think beyond just your immediate community is what we try to provide.
Yeah, and we do have a lot of kids who say, I want to be a basketball player, I want to be a football player. But the point of Future Foundation is to say, You can accomplish those dreams and we'll help you, but we also want to expose you to the other opportunities. Mm-hmm. And it's so important for our kids to see Sharif. I mean, he grew up in their community. Yes, he was a professional athlete, but now he is the president of the G League. Mm-hmm. And that never happens in our community. And so it's important for our kids to understand that they can be presidents of corporations and not just an athlete. And so it's important for them to see him.
Well, congratulations on the success of Future Foundation, and that 99% number is phenomenal. You should be very proud of that.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
we
you.
Are.
We are.
We appreciate you coming in today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Sharif Abdul-Rahim is Sister Kadira joining again the Future Foundation at future-foundation.org. Come. All right, future-foundation.com. We continue on this opening day of the NCAA tournament. Bracket Madness is happening with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From Selection Sunday to the Big Dance, we cover it all because the NCAA plays here.
If I had described the playoffs in one word, the word would be precious.
Your home for March Madness is here.
For the win. Oh!
Catch our exclusive coverage here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
I don't want to think about how many games we have on our family of stations over the next few days. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, like 20 or so. A lot of NCAA tournament March Madness is going to be live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and our sister station 1380 WAOK. WAOK tonight, because of the Hawks and Rockets, will have the two first four games beginning at 6:30 this evening with Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View. And then at 9, you'll have Temple and Belmont on 1380 WAOK, with the Hawks and Rockets game is on the big station here at 7 o'clock with a tip at 7:30 from State Farm Arena. One of the things, welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. One of the things I was noticing, Hugh, here is that tomorrow is going to be an interesting day in Athens, because not only is it the continuation of Georgia's spring practice, but it is UGA's pro day. And
That means the young cats that's coming out, they're going to go out there and check out some of the potential draft picks,
right,
some of the guys that are working out for teams. Yeah.
The Falcons might be genuinely interested in three Georgia players, and there are going to be a lot of Falcons guys up there, because there's been talk about DeAndre Baker, because D-Led has said that, you know, they could see the DeAndre Baker in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly a lot of chatter among people like you and me about Elijah Holyfield, and boy, does Elijah have to have a better pro day tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's going to be important for him to have a better 40-time run. I think that's the thing that everybody's going to be looking at, to see what he runs in the 40.
What did he run, 4.8?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, that was
But, you know, I'll say this, and I didn't say it on Twitter because, you know, you can't defend. You really ain't too much you can say to defend a 4.8. It really isn't. I felt bad because I know how important it is, and I know how, for a running back, how teams look at that, and that can really hinder you. But I play with a lot of guys who on the clock didn't have – the speed that you would want at that position, but they still were really good running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Emmitt Smith, I remember him coming out. He didn't run the fastest time as a running back, but, you know, he's the all-time, you know, he's the all-time rusher, all-time rushing. So it's one of those things where it's not one of those things where it's a big deal. And even when I tried to use the Emmitt Smith analogy, he ran like a 4.6 or something like that. So it wasn't like he was running a 4.8. So it's one of those things where he could still be a good back in the NFL. That's the point that I was making.
Right. No, and I agree. I mean, he's big. He's strong. He's you know, the kind of guy that you can, you know, see pushing the pile, and especially if you're going to this new kind of blocking scheme with the Atlanta Falcons, when you go out and get bigger guys, and they did that with Jermon Brown and James Carpenter. I mean, these are two large human beings, and so you're going to put them with blocking tight ends into a different kind of scheme where they're going to, you know, inside zone you and power run you. It's not going to be the stretch zone of Kyle Shanahan and Steve Sarkisian. We can see now where, you know, Dirk Cutter is going to go to more of a power kind of set. And for a power kind of set, you're going to need a bigger back. And one of the things Holyfield is, he's bigger, stronger back.
Yeah, and as long as he can run with vision, he's not going to have, well, he might not have that breakaway speed that you would like your running backs to have.
Can he get you third and one?
Yeah, that's what you look at. Can he get you the tough yards? I think that's going to be important. He's definitely going to get drafted. It's just unfortunate that that 40 time might be the difference between a high second-round pick
and a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Right. So a compensatory pick. So the Falcons are going to certainly look hard at him. And it's depending. Look, he can go out right tomorrow and run 4 or 5 8 or something, and suddenly everybody goes, oh, okay, all right, we got you. You know, and maybe you just had a bad day in
yeah,
Indianapolis.
And that can happen. That can definitely happen. And that's what you're kind of hoping for.
Well, that's what Randy Mack said happened to him. He went to the combine, didn't run well. He came back to his pro day at UGA and ran better.
Yeah, and a lot of young cats, when you have that bad 40 time, man, if you go out there and you put pressure on stuff, you got to make it happen on that second one. At your pro day at your school, you got to make it happen.
Boy, I tell you what, though, DeAndre Baker didn't exactly blaze it as a defensive back either. He's going to have a good 40 time if he really wants to, because that's really, you know, running backs, you know, you can kind of, you know, like you said, I mean, I don't know what Devontae Freeman ran in the combine. I have no idea.
Yeah. And even if he did run a 40.
I have no idea what Todd Gurley ran in the combine.
I think Todd Gurley was rolling. Yeah, I think he was rolling. Yeah. I mean, it's just some. I'm telling you, John, I was in the same boat, because when Elijah Holyfield ran, I quickly went to Twitter because, you know, Twitter was blowing it up. I went to Google, and I was trying to find a good analogy to try to, you know, help the young man out. Couldn't find one. He has to go out there and he has to have a better run day. I mean, that's still not going to hinder him from being in the NFL.
Well, let's look at the other side of this, because I wanted to look it up. 225 pounds, you bench press, right? Holyfield did 26 reps.
Oh, yeah, he's strong.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but if he's going to be your running back, and if you want to get in those high-round picks, John, you got to at least be 4'6", 4'7". Like, that's still – they will probably look at that and be like, but you want to at least be that.
Right.
So when they're looking at 4'8", because you had the lineman for Alabama, can't think of his name right now. His name escapes, but he ran like a 4.8.
Right.
Like, you had some guys out there, like, rolling.
You're talking about Williams.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ran like a 4.8, so yeah.
Well, and Benny Snell ran 4.65, and Holyfield ran 4.76, and both of them had to improve that time. But, again, you know, what are the splits? What are the cone drills? Can he catch a ball? Does he see well? You know, is he strong? You know, remember, you're not necessarily drafting for a number one running back. And this all depends if they're even going to draft a running back. It may well be, I sit around and talk about this, but it may well be the Falcons are okay with Brian Hill as their big, strong back.
Maybe.
And they say, you know what? We're fine. We've got Devontae, we've got Ito, and we got Brian Hill. We're good. And that may be the case. Top of the hour, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael. On this opening day of the NCAA Tournament Tuesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.